Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Just got into my hotel in Miami. I'm able to do a few videos. Last week I was in Belize, no internet access. Very, very difficult, but we're back in the saddle again. And then next week when I get back to Medellin after Rebel Capitalists Live, we're going to get back to the daily routine of videos, whiteboards, interviews, all the good stuff. And if you guys haven't got your tickets to Rebel Capitalists Live, what on earth are you waiting for? It is this Friday. It starts registration, Miami, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, Kiyosaki, Doug Casey, Chris Martinson, Jeff Snyder, Joseph Wang, Brent Johnson, Steve Van Meter, just to name a few. You got to get your tickets ASAP, RebelCapitalistLive.com. All right, let's get into this chart. I think you guys are really going to get a kick out of it. I saw it on Twitter today, and then I went to the visual capitals to check it out, and man, it just clicked just like that. So let me shoot over. This is the Visual Capitalist. Great website, by the way. Incredible website. And the first chart, this actually is not the chart I was referring to, but this is really interesting because this is the rate of change. This green line is the rate of change in M2 money supply. And I would argue that this is probably a better measurement of CPI or consumer price inflation than the CPI. I mean, let's just think about this for a moment. You know, would we say that inflation was running right around 12%? In the consumer price inflation, not monetary expansion, but consumer price inflation was running, you know, 12, 13, 14%, dipped down during the stock market crash to 6%, went back up. I mean, pretty darn close. And then we see disinflation pretty much till the mid 90s. And then we see inflation going back up to maybe 5-6% per year. Now, I know this wasn't the headline CPI number, but all of us know that number is bogus. And if you would have asked, I think anyone on this live stream, you know, what do you think the official, the actual inflation rate was in the United States from, let's just say 2010 to 2020, they'd probably say maybe 10%, but, you know, 6, 7, 8%. I don't think that's far off. So I'm not saying that this is just a one-to-one peg on consumer price inflation, but my goodness gracious, it's pretty damn close, in my opinion. And then, of course, we see M2 go up by 25-plus percent in 2020, which is what I would argue prices actually did. So anyway, let's get to the chart, and I'm definitely going to use this in a future whiteboard video, maybe even tomorrow, because this is a very powerful chart. But let's get over to the, let's see, okay, here we go. This is the chart that I was referring to in the title. I think if you just look at this, it tells you everything you know need to know about the U.S. economy, and therefore it tells you everything that you need to know about how the Fed can bring down the CPI, at least headline CPI, even if it's a bogus number, and why it would be completely impossible for the Fed to take real rates positive. Now, I'm not saying they need to do that in order to bring down inflation. I don't believe that to be true. In fact, I was listening to an interview with Stan Druckenmiller the other day, and he said that in no time in history, U.S. history, has inflation come back down without having positive real rates. And I was like, what? I think unless he was saying something that I didn't, he wasn't saying anything I didn't understand, but I mean, who am I to push back on Stan Druckenmiller? But that's just factually inaccurate. And I actually rewound it and listened to it a couple of times. He said, in no time in history, not in no time on my charts going back to 1960 or 1950. He said, in no time. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'd like to remind everyone that during the 1940s, 1947, inflation was 19.5% as measured by the government, CPI. Yeah, we didn't get positive real rates, not even close, because they had the yield curve pegged. I don't know what Fed funds was, probably close to zero, because the front end of the curve was pegged at, I think, 20, 30 basis points, something like that.
Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today.
So my point is, within 2 or 3 years, you had deflation. So we did not have positive real rates back then. But anyway, let's get back to this chart. So why was Paul Volcker able to do what he did back in 81? You could say, oh, the debt. And that is true to a certain degree. But I think this chart is even more impactful, or it tells an even clearer story. So look at what the net worth as a percentage of GDP. So this is your assets, your 401k, your home equity. Back in 1980, when Volcker raised those rates, it was right around, we'll call it 325-ish%. So 325-ish%. Look at what it is today, over 600%. So what this tells you is the economy is far, far, far more dependent. Pretty much what I say in every single one of my videos. But this chart really backs up my view extremely well, where I always say the U.S. economy is dependent upon asset prices, more specifically asset bubbles. Boom. Here you go. Very difficult to dispute that away after you see this chart. So again, what happened is asset prices went just straight up to the right, pretty much since 1980, as a result of interest rates going down and many other things, financialization of the economy and whatnot. But so this is people's purchasing power just going up, 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 up. Now, what is happening to their productivity, or how many goods and services are we producing? It's definitely not going up at this line, I can tell you that. So the amount of income we're making, let's say, in real terms, goes like this, flat. But yet, how do we spend more and more and more and more money? I'm in a hotel right now in Miami. How is it packed if, you know, the economy, underlying fundamentals are very, very poor? Because people feel, and to a certain degree, they are rich because asset prices have gone up to such a great degree. So, and again, I always use that example of a hot air balloon, where back here, the basket that the balloon carried was the stock market, asset prices, and the balloon was the real economy. So wherever the balloon went, so did asset prices. Now it's the complete opposite, where asset prices are the balloon and the real economy is the basket. So wherever asset prices go, so does the real economy. And again, you cannot dispute that. Maybe you can, but I don't think you can dispute it very well after looking at this chart. So what the Fed is, in my opinion, trying to do is bring down the net worth as a percentage of GDP to bring down the inflation rate, CPI, because they know darn well that they can't take Fed funds up to... I mean, they can't even take Fed funds up to 3 or 4%, let alone, you know, 9 to get positive real rates. And they know that that approach would be far more detrimental than just trying to gradually get down asset prices to a level where they reduce aggregate demand so that CPI is trending down. I think that's pretty much the game plan here. And that's why I think they could be more aggressive with quantitative tightening than they are even with these interest rate hikes. Because I think, you know, fine, they can get up to 150 basis points. Good for them. But once they start getting to 2/2, I think you're walking on, or you're skating on thin ice. And therefore, what do? You got to lean on quantitative tightening to get this green line back down to reduce aggregate demand to a level where that CPI print starts to come back down. I'm not saying they can get it down to 2% or anything like that, but at least come down to a level where it's politically palatable. And just a shout out one more time so you guys can find this chart on your own. It is, I just Googled visual capitalist and asset price inflation, and I was able to find it. And again, the article starts with this chart, but you just hit this arrow and you can scroll through to the chart that we just used in this video. So you can check it out yourself. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and make sure you get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live so you can hang out with all the cool kids this weekend. It's rebelcapitalistlive.com. We'll see you on the next video.